Hello and welcome to the Select Sector Spider Sector Digest podcast for the week of October 17th, 2022. I'm your host, Paul Baiocchi, ready to dig into all things sectors for the week ahead and look back at the week that was. And another very, very choppy week, if that's the word for it. You had this big sell-off on Friday after the market reversed basically 5% on Thursday after the CPI print was higher than expected. Market sold off on the news on Thursday, and then we saw this furious rally for a number of reasons. Everyone tries to attribute an intraday move based on a specific headline, but ultimately it was one of those wild days where market's down 2-2.5%. All of a sudden it swings and finishes up 2.5-3%, depending on the index that you look at, and that's the type of wild market action that defined this week. And then it was all for naught because Friday we saw the market sell off once again, and add it all up and you've got the S&P 500 down 1.5% for the week. You've got just three of the 11 GIC sectors in the green for the week: healthcare, staples, and financials. And ultimately, when you look at the data, it was somewhat mixed. You had a decent consumer sentiment number, but you had higher than expected inflation expectations on both the consumer and on the Fed side. And I think that's what ultimately is driving down the market and what is weighing on the market. In fact, we've got our internal call on Monday, our partners call, where we have a lot of our sub-advisors and other firms that we work closely with give an update every couple weeks. And I've been asked to host this week, and the song that we often kick it off with, because my boss, our president, Leighton Spar, loves music and loves to kick meetings off with music. The song I chose this week is The Weight by The Band, because there just seems to be an inordinate amount of weight on the shoulders of this market, whether it's the geopolitical backdrop, whether it's the inflationary backdrop, the interest rate backdrop, which is, of course, related to the inflation story. But ultimately, once you have all of that and then concerns about margins, concerns about the market sectors that lead the market or have typically led the market higher over the course of the past 5, 6, 7, 10 years, that is a lot of weight for the market shoulders to bear. And I think it's appropriate that we think about how that impacts performance on a week-to-week basis and even day-to-day basis. I mean, these moves on the week, you look at communication services down 1.5%, XLK technology down 3.3%, XLY discretionary down 3.83%. These are outsized moves for sectors, once again, as we've talked about recently, and the sectors that drive the market's weight because of their significant weight in the index. Now, when you think about activity this week, we had nearly 900 million shares traded across the Select Sector Spider lineup. So a very active week, once again, in terms of volumes and in terms of market activity. And that's, again, reflective of the fact that we're now heading into what is ultimately a very important pocket of the year. And with the amount of news that we continue to get on the economic front that tells a mixed story and in some cases a very challenging story, the market continues to wrestle with this. And from a flows perspective, we actually saw a decent amount of net creation activity over the course of the past week. 15.6 million shares created, led by XLF and XLE, two chunky creation weeks for both of those. But then we saw both consumer sectors were out for the week. And broadly, 7 of the 11 GIC sectors did see net creation activity over the course of the past week. So again, it's a market where activity's picking up. The bias has been to the downside. We're now down roughly 25% year to date on the S&P 500. And it's also a year at the sector level, which is replacing our sector in focus this week, is the focus on dispersion. Because if you look at the difference between XLE and XLC, or Energy and Communication Services, year to date, it's one of the widest dispersions we've had between the best performer and worst performer over the course of the past decade, save for 2020. Energy up 34% or so through the end of Q3. Communication Services down 37.92%. So you've got in excess of a 70% delta between the best and worst performing sector this year. You go back to 2020, technology up 43.57%, energy down 32.81%. That's a bigger delta. But once you look inside the market, it's not typical that you see dispersion not only between the best and worst performing sectors of that magnitude, but also the second best performer and second worst performer. Utilities down 6.58%, through the end of Q3, technology down 31.23%. So you're talking about a 25% or so difference between the second best performer and second worst performer in the market. And again, one of the reasons why sectors are an effective tool for advisors, for investors, because when you think about the difference between growth and value this year, for example, we've heard a lot about value's resurgence and how it's certainly relative to growth having a much better year. But you look at broad Russell 1000 version or the equivalent of a value strategy down roughly 11% year to date. Then you've got Russell 1 growth down basically 33% year to date. So you're talking about a 20% or so difference between growth and value this year when you're seeing so much dispersion among sectors of the market. And that just tells you, again, as we talked about with the story of sectors and why they matter, that ultimately sectors are a much more effective tool for isolating some of your economic exposures, some of your volatility and market exposures. And certainly when you think about how sectors are grouped, which is based on the revenues and what they actually do, in environments where the economic backdrop is this challenging and the nature of different businesses, different industries is really divergent because of that macroeconomic backdrop, it makes sense that companies that are grouped together based on what they do as opposed to how they're valued would have a much more mixed, much more dispersed performance so far in 2022. So looking ahead to next week, we've got housing data and a lot of it, home builders index, housing starts, existing home sales. We'll also get some more inflation expectations on Friday, which hopefully by the end of the week, we're not in a position where we're banking on either a positive or perhaps negative inflation expectations number on Friday, because we saw how that went last week. And I think it ultimately undermined what was otherwise a fairly constructive week in the S&P 500 and in the market. And then we'll also get some significant earnings this week. We get more financials, B of A, BNY Mellon, Schwab. We also got some big regional banks throughout the week. We get American Express at the end of the week. So much more insight into the financial services sector. Again, we saw some creation activity this week in XLF. It's one of those sectors that has been the dominant narrative in terms of creation and redemption activity so far in 2022. It's also a sector that was very popular based on rising interest rates coming into the year. And that has ebbed and flowed in terms of the headlines associated with financials and what the expectation is for earnings, the expectation is for relative performance. We saw some pretty interesting earnings this week from some of the big financial institutions in this country. And again, it's a read through onto what they expect to happen economically here in the United States and globally. And the tone, once again, at least at the kickoff of earnings season, seems to be on balance negative. Then we are also going to hear from Netflix. We're going to hear from Tesla. And I mentioned Kinder Morgan only because it's one of those energy companies in the energy infrastructure segment of the energy sector that will give us an interesting read through as to what volumes look like within the energy sector here in the United States with connection of production and consumption, tariff rates for various transportation and services related to crude oil and natural gas. And the expectation, of course, is that if we are on the brink of or in the midst of a global recession or a domestic recession, that's going to be net negative for energy prices. It's going to be net negative for WTI and crude oil more broadly. But of course, if we're seeing continued volumes and activity by one of the largest companies in the energy infrastructure space, then in theory, that bodes well for the outlook for energy more broadly, which is a sector we talk a lot about. And of course, a key part of that dispersion story that we focused on this week. So I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time. Once again, my name is Paul Baiocchi, Chief ETF Strategist at SS&C Alps Advisors. I hope everyone has a wonderful week, and we'll catch you next time.